The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the History Worth Saving podcast. Subscribe, like, and share your story ideas at historyworthsaving.com. And while you're there, you can also pick up a copy of my new book, Tales from High Bluff, Stories My Grandfather Would Like, just by visiting historyworthsaving.com. And a special thank you to our friends at The Conversion Mill for making this episode possible. The Conversion Mill turns your existing website visitors into paying customers. Find more at theconversionmill.com. That's theconversionmill.com. On this episode of History Worth Saving, we're talking to my friend and often business guru, consultant Chris Hood, who, in full disclosure, does indeed sponsor this show. But it goes deeper than that. I wanted to have Chris on to talk about his journey through a very dark period of his life, and how that helped shape what he's doing today. When I say dark period, I mean a long, long time in the hospital, a long, dark period of being sick, of being on the brink, and then moving forward. And so today, joining me in studio is my good friend Chris Hood. Chris, thanks for being here.
Oh, yeah. Anytime. Thanks for having me, Matt.
I love that you were saying, are you open to, are you open to criticism before, right before we sit down and do this? And one of your things was, It needs a little more volume. And what I was telling you is that no good excuse. I mean, I was telling you that we standardize for all of the platforms. And then your other critique was that I don't tell people where they can subscribe to the podcast. So we normalize everything audio-wise for iHeartRadio, for Warbird Radio, for all of the other brands. Did I get all that in there creatively? What else was I supposed to mention? Oh, the book.
Write the book.
Buy my book, please. Otherwise, Chris is going to get mad at me. So it's Tales from High Bluff, Stories My Grandfather Would Like. You're a marketing guy by trade.
Most days.
Yep. And a consultant and all kind of stuff. But let's rewind. You and I met. I was still the news anchor for a television station down south of here. You were moonlighting down there as a graphics guy or something, production guy.
Yeah, a production assistant. I was your cameraman a lot of days.
Were you really?
Yeah. We would.
I don't remember. In the studio.
We would be getting set up for for the opens, and I remember I'd be getting the focus dialed in on the camera, and you'd be behind the desk doing your best Ron Burgundy.
My best Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
Trying to channel the Zen master himself. So, well, in short, we've known each other a long time. And right after that, right after I left Fox and you went back out, you came down with this mysterious illness and no one knew what it was. Walk me through that.
Yeah. So I had taken the position at Fox because I wanted to learn more about video production. At the time, I was doing a lot of creative services, graphic design, and different types of marketing and advertising work before the internet boom and all that really kind of hit. So a lot of print stuff. There were quite a few requests for doing videos. For commercials, and I didn't really know how to do that type of work at the time. So I figured, what better place to go learn than at a news station where they do that kind of stuff every single day, right? So it was our friend, I can't remember who it was that actually told me about the position. Mitchell.
Oh yeah,
Mitchell. He said
Mitchell,
yeah.
Brinkley. The third, because the first two weren't enough. Right. Himself. Yeah.
So he told me about it, and was like, "Yeah, come on down, put in an application, and we'll teach you how to do run some video." And I don't think I ever learned a single thing about video production while I was there. Just how to survive in a work environment that turned people into miserable souls.
Yeah, well, there is some truth in that. But you did right when you left there and got into this, yeah. this whatever this was that came over you. And the frustrating thing about that illness is that no one knew what it was. No, there was no doctor that could come in and say, "This is what's wrong with you."
Right. So I was doing, the Fox News station thing as a moonlighting side gig. And I just over the course of several weeks, couple of months, I was just getting run down. I was just tired all the time. No good rhyme or reason. I'm just stressed. I'm just working hard. It's long hours, and you start making up all these reasons why you have no energy. You don't want to do anything.
Because you did. You had your own design firm at the time that you were running during the day and then doing this side hustle at night. Yeah.
And so I just, my overall energy and just like motivation to do things just started dwindling. And we finally got to a point, where when I wasn't working, I was sleeping.
And you couldn't work eventually. I mean, I remember you back then, you're just skin and bone. And then one day you didn't show up.
Right. One day I ran into my niece who is a nurse, ran into her at a wedding and she comes up to me and she's like, "You don't look good. You need to come see me." And I was like, I'm just busy working, it's whatever. And a few weeks later, I was like, "Man, I just really feel like death. I'm actually going to go take Suzanne up on that and go down and just get checked out and make sure there's nothing we're not seeing." And so I go down and getting out of the car to walk into the clinic where she worked, I nearly collapsed in the parking lot and had to get people to help me physically take me in. And they put me on a bed and, started poking me with all these needles, asking me all these crazy questions. And eventually, they get through drawing all the blood that they need for everything. And Suzanne comes in, she starts telling me, she's like, "Okay, we're running all these tests, it could be this, it could be that, she's just like, I'm getting a little freaked out. She's saying, it could be cancer, could be, could
not
could
what
be
you
AIDS,
want to hear. Yeah. Could be, like, you're not sure.
You're right. And I was like, this is not the direction I was expecting this to go in. And she comes back a few minutes later and she's like, she's visibly like laughing. She's like, "Yeah, you're diabetic." And I was like, "Well, what are you talking about? There's no history of it in a family. I'm clearly not overweight."
Because you're a cyclist. You're a competitive cyclist. But let me stop right there, because they gave you that diagnosis. And then the next, few months were absolute hell. You were in and out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. They said you were diabetic, but then there was this thought that, well, maybe you're not.
Well, after seeing her and getting their initial diagnosis,
and I'm going somewhere with this.
Gotcha.
For the other person, listening to this conversation. There's three of us here. It's you, me, and then them. So I'm going. So hang on. I'm going somewhere with this with Chris.
So she comes back and she says, "Hey, you're diabetic." And I was like, "Okay, great. How do you know?" And she goes, "Well, your blood sugar level is pretty elevated. Our machine goes up to 900 and you're above that." And I was like, "Well, that,
probably.
Okay. So that,
yeah.
So what's normal?" And she's like, "Oh, about 82. And I was like, "Oh, okay." So,
yeah.
I'm in the hospital because they admitted me actually to the hospital immediately, like from the clinic where she was at. So I spend a week in there and I get these doctors who, I'm sure had nothing but the best intentions. In retrospect, they just weren't listening to what I was telling them. And they actually, they diagnosed me as a type 2 diabetic. So type 2, there are two major types of diabetes, type 1 and type 2. Type 2 is generally from being grossly overweight, consuming too much food, your body can't keep up with insulin production. You can control type 2 diabetes usually with some type of oral medication and diet. Type 1 diabetes, your pancreas just doesn't work.
Right.
And so they had told me I was type 2.
Because I remember this. I remember this conversation. You called up, you were ecstatic, like, oh my goodness, it's not that big of a deal. We're going to be able to control this and blah, blah, blah.
Take some pills, eat some more salad.
Off I go.
I'm good.
Yeah, off I go. And then boom.
And then a couple of weeks later, maybe it was a couple of months later, back in the hospital.
Yeah.
And it's another week of, you know, them trying to figure out what's going on. And I remember.
And in the meantime, you're trying to run your business.
Yeah, it was,
and you're going through this as an entrepreneur, and it's this dark, dark period.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm falling behind on deadlines. You know,
well, not only that, but I mean, it's hard to make money when you're in the hospital.
Can't make money in the hospital. It's weird.
So fast forward, because we don't want this to be, you know, the General Hospital episode. They figure out that you're not type 2.
Yeah, so
and they get you back on the straight and narrow.
I'm at a follow up visit with the doctor after I got out of the hospital the second time, and I'm going through the same story with these people again and again and again, and again, like I know they have the best intentions. I don't feel like I was being heard, and finally I'm talking to one of the physician's assistants who was seeing me that day, and he was asking me a few questions about this and that. And I was telling him, it's like, you know, this stuff isn't working. And you guys are telling me I need to do this and change my diet and all this other kind of stuff. And it's like, I exercise regularly, or at least I used to before, you know, a couple months ago.
Right. And, before I could not stand up. Yeah.
Right. And then so he starts looking through my chart, and he gets this like really, really puzzled look on his face. And he just goes, Chris, I'm sorry. All the stuff here indicates you're type 1, and we're treating you like you're type 2. I was like, holy cow, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so now I'm on this insulin regimen, and, you know, I've got to take my blood sugar a gazillion times a day. And at that point, like, depression was just like, hit me like a steamroller.
And as if it weren't already a perfect storm for that. And that's why I wanted to have you on, because There are so many folks that are out there that are working with a condition, a diagnosis that you know, it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. That depression can get in there, and it's a nasty, nasty business. And you've been there, and I want to say you still have your own business, mm-hmm. and it's thriving, and you're doing well yourself. So how do you get from A to B?
Oh man, it's a long journey. And, you know, I wish there was like a magic formula that I could say, hey, you know, do these five things and you're going to be okay. You know, you come out unscathed on the other side and everything will be perfect. But I mean, truth be told, like I went through some deep, dark crap, you know, to get here. I mean, initially, like I didn't want to leave the house. You know, here I am. I'm thinking, you know, I've got a disease, you know, not that I'm sick. Like I have a disease. I have this like thing that's going to follow me around for the rest of my life. And I didn't want to, you know, I didn't really understand insulin, you know, and how all that worked and, you know, and how the whole blood sugar thing and A1Cs and just all this. So it got to a point I didn't want to leave my house because I didn't want to be away from my medicine. You know, and
like, no, that's huge though. I mean, think about that. You were afraid to leave.
Absolutely. And so, you know, and then to complicate things even more, like at the time I was married and things just weren't really going well there. And, you know, you throw this on top of all that. And now, you know, it's even more difficult, you know?
Right.
And
so ultimately, not to pour gas on a fire, but ultimately, the marriage failed.
Yeah.
As if you couldn't go even further down into the depression. I mean, this is a dark time.
Yeah, it was rough. And I probably, you know, resorted to doing a lot of things that I in hindsight, definitely not the best decisions to make. You know, I spent a lot of time after, you know, over the next couple of years, really, bouncing around from bar to bar, hanging out, you know,
doing. And alcohol is really good for diabetics.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not.
So it helps make great choices for diabetics. So the point here is that no matter where you're at, no matter where your neighbor's at, no matter where your son or your daughter's at, what Chris brings to the table is the hope on the other end. And it's difficult to get through there. What was that thread, though, that ran from A to B that you always reached up and grabbed a hold of, even though it might have been a small thread? What was it? What got you a little hope along the way?
So there's a lot of things like that have influenced me along my journey through this life. And there's a lot of things that I know, you know, I've done over the years that bring me a lot of joy. And some of those things are helping other people, you know, trying to figure out a way to build community, to help others either somehow less fortunate or don't have the resources or the knowledge or know-how to do what they need to do for their lives. And, you know, it was a couple of years ago, I got involved, got my health back to a point to where I was able to get back out on the bike again, and got connected with a group of riders that were just a huge positive impact for me. And reminded me, you know, these are all like successful business people, a lot of them out there doing their own thing. You know, the conversations that we would have on the bike, you know, just getting out there and getting exercise out in the fresh air. But, the conversations that we would have while we were out there on the bike about business and life and, you know, people that they had engaged with that they had helped out in some way because they were going, you know, these people were going through some kind of time of need, you know, it really got me to thinking. I was like, well, man, I'm not doing anything to help anybody anymore. And, so I got involved with this program called, the Great Cycle Challenge, which, they raise money for the Children's Cancer Research Fund. I did it as a way to encourage myself to get out there and ride more. The side benefit was, you know, I could ask for donations and raise, you know, raise funds for their cause. And during that summer that I did this, like the people that I talked to with the organization are just like phenomenal people and right. Just so encouraging. You know, we would get, anytime somebody would get a donation, we would get updates talking about how, you know, these donations had impacted, a specific child, you know, and this and that. And then I ended up, being like the number two fundraiser in the state of Georgia and rode. My goal, I think, for that month was to ride 700 miles. And I think I ended up, somewhere over 1500, you know, over the course of the event. And, it just got me to thinking again. I was like, that felt good.
Putting one foot in front of the other and helping people
and getting out there and getting out of the mindset that's like, oh, my life sucks. Oh, why is this happening to me? Why am I dealing with this? You know,
you have to have that moment where you break that cycle, right? You have, yeah. I mean, no pun intended, but you have to have that moment where in your case, it was a cycle that broke that habit of telling yourself, this is where I'm at. This is what's going on, and I can't leave. I want to fast forward here because this is where I was going with this. You're a guy that data saved, right? One doctor finally heard what you were saying, looked at the data, and it was all there. And what's cool about what you do now is you are the data guy. You are the guy that hears what your clients are saying, and then you match it with the data and you say, you know what, case in point, History Worth Saving, the brand that we launched, that this podcast is about. This is the podcast for History Worth Saving. There are so many ladies that listen to History Worth Saving that I had no idea. I mean, I really didn't. I had no idea of the power of this show when it comes to ladies, specifically 33 to, what did we find out? 45.
45, yeah.
So thank you for listening. And I hope that, you know, I hope you're getting something out of this. But you're the guy that figured that out. And it all comes down to data. So if you're a business owner, it doesn't matter. If you're selling, you know, something that's home-based, or if you're running a multi-million dollar or billion dollar corporation, the data and what your customer and what your employees are saying even matters so much. And if you don't have someone that is truly paying attention to that and hearing, you're going to get diagnosed with type 2 when you really, in fact, have type 1, right?
Yeah, and it's a miserable place to be.
It is, because, and it leads to all kind of bad stuff.
Because you're treating all, you're doing everything for what you think is the issue, or think who your audience is in this case, you know, but in reality, you're missing the entire picture.
So here's the big question as we close this thing up. How do you listen?
How do I listen?
How do you listen? Because you're really good at it. How do you listen? Because you're a guy whose life was put in jeopardy because someone didn't listen. You know how to listen.
Are we talking about in the business and analytics side of things?
I'm talking how you listen. How do you listen?
Oh, geez. So, yeah, in this role,
because you pick up
stuff.
You have to
listen. The easy. If there's one piece of advice when it comes to listening, is you got to shut up. You know,
you sound like, I have a friend, Lee Lauterbach, and his dad would always tell him, he would say, you boys aren't listening if your mouth's moving. It was something like that. Like, you can't learn if your mouth's moving.
And that is 100% accurate. You know, I think as business owners and a lot of times in life, you know, we come into these situations and we make these assumptions because that's what our gut tells us. You know, it's like, I know my audience. This is my business. This is who I'm selling to. This is who I'm dealing with, and this is what they want. But in reality, you know, the data, whether that's your analytics package for your website or your audience profiling on your social media, you know, whatever, that's, you got to reference that. Otherwise, you're missing the picture potentially. You know, and this, I think, is a, you know, perfect case in point.
So what do you tell the person sitting across from us?
Dive into your analytics. If you don't know what that means, find someone who does.
You know? So whether it's a life decision, whether it's a business decision, dive into the data, right? So
right.
See what the data is showing you.
The data will tell you what you need to know.
And we get data in all kind of ways. I mean, look at a relationship, right? There's all kind of data posts out there with your relationship. So,
oh, yeah.
There's all kind of ways you can look at this, but I think it's great advice to, and look, you and I both know that you're listening to this, and Chris says, just listen and shut up and listen. But that's something that we don't often take to heart. I mean, it really is, isn't it?
It's tough because we want to have an opinion to everything. We want to be an expert on everything. We want to be able to give somebody all the answers. But you have to... I think step number one into being an expert is to realize that you don't know everything until you go and you actually look at the numbers behind whatever it is you're talking about, you know, and whether that's on your, you know, who makes up, you know, what gender and age make up, you know, your core audience, or, you know, what things you do that aggravate your partner in life, you know, it's,
right.
You know, you've got to shut up long enough to look at those things and start connecting the dots, you know, that the numbers and the data are telling you, you know, because it's all there.
I like it. Yep. It is all there. We're all there.
Yep.
In the last few seconds here, Chris Hood, the conversion mill, for you, it's Georgia.
So I always say
TheConversionMill.com. Not only is he a good listener, if you want to call him up and share a recipe, as long as it's diabetic friendly, he would love to hear it. Does that mean low carb, no sugar, and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no added sugar, gluten-free if we can do it, low carbs. I ate some potatoes at lunch today. I'm already regretting that.
We just had this huge lunch for about half asleep. Get out there and get to know your neighbor. You know, this show is all about getting to know your neighbor. And the odds are you have a neighbor that is right there where Chris was. Maybe it's you. I mean, maybe it is you. So I hope that what you hear today and what you are listening to today is something that can get you from point A to point B, can be that thread, that cycle, if you will, for Chris. It doesn't matter what it is. Just hang on to it and know that it's going to get better. And that you as a person, you as an individual matter. And thank you for listening, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. Chris, am I missing the boat? Or what have I not heard?
Well, listening is definitely a key important part of it. The follow-up to that, though, is you got to take action.
All right, so here you go. Yeah. Log on and subscribe. Send us an email. I'd love to hear from you. And I'm horrible at marketing. I'm a horrible self-marketer. It would mean the world to me if you sent an email through the website, through Facebook, through Instagram, and let us know what you, or let me know. Chris will read it anyway, but let me know what you want to hear on the show. And look, it's a community out here. The whole goal is to meet you and to get to know your neighbors. So let's get to know each other, won't you? New newsletter coming out this month. If you're not a member, please subscribe. I'm Matt Jolly. Get out there and know your neighbor. And Chris, this is history worth saving, isn't it?
Absolutely.